Hi. Gay is not sin, and Jesus isn't asking the gay person to change and be straight. Do you know what you are, those of you that claim to be Christian? Let me tell you, you're the last day's church. It seems to me, by looking at the way that you behave, that you don't think that you're anything different than anything else. You just feel that you're just guaranteed heaven. That's it. Nobody can change your mind about that. You know, you just think, you know, things may get a little worse, but eventually you'll be out of here, and you don't have to worry about anything. I mean, a little bit more detailed and complex than that, but generally speaking, most of you don't have the concept built into you that you're the last day's church. You know, it would be kind of interesting to be able to get across to you before things start happening that you are something very, very different than all other Christians that's ever lived. You know, there's Christians that's going to be dying. If you happen to be a Christian that's going to die any days now, then you're not part of the last day's church. You're affected by them because most of the people alive today are the last day's church. If you are born and you're going to be alive when Jesus returns, you're the last day's church. And again, I say many of you are going to die. Some of you get the tail end of it. You get at least the privilege, as it were, to be alive when the last day's church is here. Now, some Christians were alive when those were alive, that when Jesus was here, and then Jesus left and sent the other comforter and came into you, but physically he left, he returned to heaven. But those people that were there and saw Jesus and lived in the day he was here still kept on living for decades more. And then new people were born. Well, those people kind of sort of got to see the people that were the first day's church, as it were. So lots of you are in the having this privilege of knowing people that are going to be the last day's church. There's something different about the last day's church than those of you that's going to die. You see, many of you are going to die before the rapture. About 2/3 of Christians are going to turn their back on Jesus. Half the world population is going to be killed. It's bound to be some of you are going to be killed. So it doesn't really matter how close to the rapture you get. If you die, you're not in the last day's church as in a last day's church person, because things that the last day's church needs to experience before they can be in the rapture, you don't need that. Meaning that you do have to have something to be clean enough to get to heaven. You see, Jesus promises that if we believe in him by faith, we'll get to heaven. If you're born again, whosoever believes. We got lots of verses that kind of seems like they're pretty much a guarantee. There's some denominations or groups that believe once saved, always saved. It's kind of funny, though, when you read so much of the Bible, it's emphasizing, hang on to your faith. Fight for it. Hold on. Persevere to the end. It describes people of God turning from God often to other gods. Yes, you can turn your backs on Jesus. Today you might not think that possible. But tomorrow things are going to happen that aren't happening today. And you have no idea what these things are because you're not paying attention for one thing. And the effects of what's happening in the future, this very short near future, is going to be astounding. the types of effects that it's going to have on you personally. So boasting that you're never going to turn your back on Jesus just don't hack it. Two-thirds of you are. And God had to spend an awful long time preparing an army, training them, and most of them today don't know that this is what they're being trained for. To go out and restore as many as possible. It's going to be a hard task to restore some of you that fall. Many of you, it's going to be very difficult to get you back in grace. But, you see, there's a function. Lots of us just believe we're washed in the blood. Oh, we have lots of songs. It's so wonderful. We feel so blessed when we sing them. And we are. This is a wonderful thing, being washed in the blood. But it's 90% symbolic. There is an actually detergent, you know, a soap, a scrubby mechanism, a washer machine that you put the blood in of Jesus Christ, and it scrubs you clean. What it looks like doesn't matter. What matters, though, is this literal process has to take place. You can't get to heaven. Your body's got stuff. Your mind's got stuff. It's got the traditions of men, customs, false doctrines. On and on it goes. We could talk about the filth we have on. We hate one another. We may call it love, but it's hate. Yeah, we got lots of wonderful, as we say, Christian traits as well. But we're still filthy rags to God. And we need to be scrubbed clean. So there's got to be a literal washing. One thing's about if you're not the last days church, which means you will die before the rapture. Doesn't matter if it's in the tribulation, doesn't matter where it is. If it's before the rapture and you die, you got a fantastic guarantee that whoever's left alive don't have. If you're in the rapture, the price that you're going to pay is you do not have the 100% guarantee that if you are in faith when you die, you're going to go to heaven. There's something called death's gate. Nobody's been back from death's gate. People have these what we call near-death experiences. They got lots of wonderful stories and some horrible stories to tell about what happened over there, you know. But they didn't go through the gate. They may have never even seen the gate. But to die and not come back means you're going through the gate. Some people see the whole life, you know, their troubled life that they've had, and when they come back, they're quite different, you know. They see how bad they were. They haven't seen half of it. They might be a lot better off than a lot of us because they've seen a lot of it. But you see, when you go through the death gate, you know, the verse that says, death, where's your sting or victory? Because we win it. If we die and you still believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and he rose on the third day, forgave you of your sins, that kind of stuff, you know. But if you confess with your mouth, you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Son of God, you're gonna, when you die, you're bleeding this still, you're gonna go through death's gate, and first thing you go through is this washing machine. And it's, you're washed in the blood of Jesus. But you've got this guarantee. The guarantee of heaven. Because you died in faith. Doesn't matter how bad your doctrine was, you died still believing. What matters is those of us that are alive and remain, it matters about our doctrines. Our sins are forgiven, but church-wide sin isn't. And you can't, you gotta be clean. We're forgiven, but you know, you gotta be washed literally in the blood of Christ. Can't you figure it out? The Bible tells it, and maybe it's hard for a lot of you to understand, but can't you figure it out? Can't you piece things together and find out It's a complex process of event. Simple. Accept Jesus by faith. That's pretty simple. But lots of the processes to get there is pretty sophisticated. Well planned out. You know, God planned it out pretty good. He knew what he was doing. Each little thing fits. You're not going to just skip over certain things. You know, some evolution people that believe in this kind of stuff talks about millions and millions of years, if not billions of years, for things to happen. And it's kind of funny they go up to geological places. You know, there's the earth there, and they say, well, here's this layer, and they got a name for it, and there's this layer here. And then there's space of 150 million years. They have no idea what it is, and it's gone. 150 million years of history. Poof. What happened to the 150 million years? We don't need to explain it to Connors. It took millions and millions of years to figure that out, or, you know, we don't know. And you can, in the Grand Canyon is a fantastic place of where you could literally see 150 million years that is gone in the geological record. So it's pretty hard to believe that kind of thing, you know. But, you know, I just want to get back to, you're the last day's church if you're going to stay alive, and you got to get false doctrines off of you, customs, traditions of men. All manner of stuff has to be cleaned from you. Dying in Christ, you get washed. And the choice was made. You died believing. But we're alive. We're constantly able to make choices. The Bible says the two witnesses are going to turn off the water. The water. What is this water? Rain? It says rain. Do we believe this kind of thing literally? That it's going to be rain? It may very well be rain being shut down. But let me tell you something. That's not what it means. From the day that Jesus rose to heaven and people began to pray the sinner prayer that says, Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God type of thing. You know, we don't necessarily read the exact prayer necessarily that people had prayed, but we read that 3,000 came to God, came to Jesus. And 5,000 were added. So how do they get added? Well, we look at our today stuff, and well, they were called up to the altar and they prayed a prayer. Well, they're sitting out there in the street, and they're not drunk as you suppose because it's 9 o'clock in the morning. They're filled, baptized with the Holy Spirit, and preaching Jesus. And lots of people accept this and believe that. So something happened. They had some sort of thing that people were able to accept Jesus and then begin confessing it, because this is what you're supposed to do. Now, at that time, you get this promise type of deal that Jesus comes inside you. So how do we get this type of thing? Because when this kind of sort of means we begin a personal relationship, and if Jesus comes inside you, we love to get testimony how we feel him. We feel the presence of the Lord. On and on, when we go into some services that seem to be especially spiritual, getting the Holy Spirit to move and so forth, we say, wow, we really feel it. You know, the truth of the fact is, we walk out the church, we go home, and we may be even doing something that's not what others will call sin and so forth. We may not be nice to somebody, whatever, but you know, if we even, in our bad times, because you're all sinners, you ain't going to be not sinners. You're sinners until you die. We try to walk the other way. You know, when you accept Jesus, you're going this way. Then you do 180 degrees. It may be a long ways to get to the middle point where you're starting to live righteous. But what happens when you get saved is you turn. And you might have done huge leaps, or you may take baby steps, you know. There's a really baby step. But you get there. And it doesn't matter if you get there or not, because you're heading that direction. This kind of thing we got today of pointing fingers and saying, you're this sin, you're the other sin, and so forth and so on. This got to be cleaned out of you. You can't go into the rapture in these kinds of a circumstance. Hold up. I left my door open and it was cold air getting in there. Anyway, you need some cleaning. See, what's going to happen is this water, this rain, this connection, you're plugged in to Jesus. See this? You're plugged in. When you get it in the right place, see? You're plugged in. The viewfinder's over this way, and the lens is there, so I got to... There. See, you're plugged in. What happens when you're unplugged from Jesus? Is this the baptism of the Holy Spirit? No, it's not. Is this the other comforter? Not necessarily. It's this stuff called the rain. We are now having the rains. We call this stuff differently. The former rain, the latter rain. You can add in the mist in between. But we got the rain. We're crossing the desert. No, I'm alone, God. Where have you been? You've been forsaken me. When you look back at the desert, you know that little cute thing. It's just only one set of footprints, Jesus. What's going on here? Where were you? And the Jesus sits there and he says, I was carrying you. Those were my footprints going across the desert. Once we got to the nice other side, the plush green area, I set you back down. So now we can walk together again. But those are my footprints. You still had Jesus. He doesn't forsake you, but faith and plugged in, hardwired to Jesus. See this wire? We're, as long as it's good and connected, we're hardwired, people. And so we have this thing that we feel we're saved. We're convinced we're saved. No matter what, even in times we don't feel all that saved, we're going to be stubborn and faithful and all that, and as we call it, and say, we're saved because I did this and that and the other thing. I accepted Jesus. Well, you see, this is this wired in thing. We have that faith part, too. We're supposed to be developing our faith that we can move mountains and so forth and so on. That you could survive. Those of us that live in the last days that still remain alive is going to go through some pretty trying times. It's not the wrath of God. The wrath of God happens in the last half of the tribulation. And we're not subject to go through that, at least not most of us. The whole trib is designed to get those people in Christ cleaned up, ready to be with God, ready for eternity. The whole bunch of them, not that many in comparison to all that's perished, but a whole bunch of them gets raptured out. Little after mid-trib someplace, maybe 75 days after the mid-trib, someplace in that area. That's the time that's going to be cut short. That's the time nobody can know the hour. We can't know much of the time until certain events take place, but once those events take place, we can know at least 1,200, we can date 1,260 days forward, and then we run into a problem. And there's another 75 days allowed, but we don't know when in that time. I think it's going to be almost used up all those 75 days. So that's 1,335 days after the tribulation starts, the rapture will take place. However, we don't know the time. You can know the hour, as it were. The thief comes in and steals all you have if you're not watching. Revelation 3:3. If you're not paying attention around you, Satan can do all kinds of trickery. And he always has. He's a counterfeiter. He counterfeits a lot of stuff. He's counterfeit pastors. There's 33rd degree Nathans in them. We believe they could preach the gospel better than any Christian that really loves God that's been called to be a minister. 33rd degree Masons are well adapted to be deceitful and preach a message to you that all you could think is he's got to be a man of God. And, you know, Satan can take advantage of your faith so you could actually produce things in the Spirit. Jesus said, if two or more are gathered in my name, I'll be in the midst of you. There's all kinds of stuff that is telling you why you are experiencing things that feels like Jesus is there, the Holy Spirit and God and all that kind of stuff. Because it was promised you. Doesn't mean the circumstances is right. Doesn't mean because it makes your pastor right. It means Jesus promised his people, if you two or more are gathered together, he'll be there. In the midst. So the two witnesses are going to turn off the rain, an easy way. If we call the rain a wire, it's unplugged. Unplugging means you do not feel the hardwired saveness that you've always felt. It will suddenly feel like Jesus forsook you because you're not really caring much about your faith. Your faith is there, but it's kind of atrophied, as it were, unused. You know, if you don't use your muscle, you kind of atrophied, what they call it, and it's not of much use to you. Or a little use until you begin to exercise it. So what's going to happen is suddenly we have to be all faith. Period. We don't have the wire anymore. And that's what happens when the tribulation starts. The two witness shuts it off. That's an effect that changes your life. Then the counterfeiter begins. We already have the counterfeit Bibles. Every modern version Bible is a Satan counterfeit Bible. And counterfeits has got to be so real looking that you would think they're real and you can use it. You don't go to a store with a Monopoly dollar bill. It has to look pretty much like the real thing that you look at it. You can't tell the difference. And you give it to that cashier, and they don't know the difference. And so you bought your product and left because it was a counterfeit. It looked real enough. So it's got to look real enough. There's going to be a fake second coming. It's got to look real enough to Christians because it's a counterfeit. Do you think you can handle counterfeits that look this kind of real? We like to say, yes, we can. That you haven't had it happen yet, and you have this. If it happened today, you might be able to understand it when it happens and reject it, because you have this faith connection that, but this is going to be taken off. This hardwired faith is going to be taken off, and you have to live by what do they call it, infrared remote control faith. You got to have your connection to Jesus. It's like a remote control for TV. It changes, you know. You gotta have that kind of faith. 1260 days. You know, tribulation isn't to go out and hurt bad people, unbelievers, the pagans, the heathen. It's not a way that God is doing so he can destroy all these bad people. He could do that like that. He made these people. He created them. He built. He spent a long time preparing a nation, like he did in olden days, to spank, to chastise Israel. And he's going to do that. The two witnesses are going to spend a lot of time with you, spanking you. It's not going to be fun. It hurts to take the stuff we love off of ourselves. People, you got to watch for this. You are the last days Christian, and it's going to be different. Not just go to Sunday meeting every Sunday like we've been forever. I'm out of time. If you don't know Jesus, turn to him. Say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God, and that God rose you on the third day. A simple prayer gets you saved. But now, read the King James Bible. All of the Bibles are Satan counterfeits. And ask Jesus to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And get ready. Start watching. We're near the end, people. See you next week.